You know, with every presidential election, one side is happy and the other side is disappointed. But following the intense campaign between Kamala Harris and Donald Trump, feelings on both sides are elevated in different directions. We shouldn't be surprised considering how personal everyone took this campaign. Even the candidates got personal with their attacks, and the ramped up rhetoric left one side exuberant and the other side depressed. The victors, the Trump supporters, are exuberant because what they believe will be America becoming great again is going to happen. And they live with now this promise that things are going to be better and that our biggest problems will be solved. The border, inflation, all of those things will be taken care of quite quickly. The celebrating of Trump's victory is also a relief that America will be saved from their perception that Democrats and Kamala Harris would have turned America into a socialist nation. Those who are depressed and in a dark place, the Harris supporters, they find themselves not really happy. And they're fearing that a new Trump administration is going to manifest a mission of revenge against political opponents, that it will rob women of a right to abortion, and they will witness an unthinkable attack on basic American freedom. To the side that is exuberant right now following Trump's victory, be wary of the promises that Trump will not be able to keep. Be concerned about some of the promises he will keep. I believe that most Trump supporters believe in American freedom and believe in the democratic republic form of government that we have. On the campaign trail, Donald Trump said some things that would change the federal government in ways that many seem appealing now that a Republican will be in the White House, but it's not going to be so appealing if a Democrat is in the White House. The many Trump supporters who promoted the idea that Donald Trump was not involved in the Heritage Foundation's Project 2025 will see aspects of that radical right-wing plan begin to be implemented shortly after Trump takes office. Project 2025 is so radical that it will change American government for years to come and will infringe on the individual rights of many Americans in many areas. The project reflects the mentality of dictating how Americans should lead their lives from the right. Many think that Donald Trump is not associated with it. We'll see. I don't know why they did it. Why did the Heritage Foundation spend all this time and all this money to put together this Project 2025? It is there for the moment Donald Trump becomes president. This is that moment. So why would they not implement it? If they don't implement it, if we see no signs of it, I will talk about that as well. And I'll admit that I was wrong. But I think there's every reason to believe that Project 2025 is going to become reality. And it's going to be a harsh reality for a lot of people who feel like they're gaining freedom. They're no longer going to have that freedom if certain aspects of Project 2025 are implemented. Now, Congress may have to get involved in some of this, but, you know, Republicans control a lot of Congress. So the question is, will those who said Trump had nothing to do with Project 2025 recognize and admit it when it starts to be implemented? Trump supporters have every right to celebrate this moment in history. And the Americans who feared another Trump administration have every right to be concerned. It is the responsibility of this talk show on WWL AMFM and WWL.com and the Free Odyssey app from 1 to 4 to comment on his administration. We would have commented on the Harris administration as well. The original role of the media was to hold politicians accountable, and we will do that every afternoon from 1 to 4 here on WWL. And I remember that when, I think when Obama was president, Fox News' ratings were higher than they were when Donald Trump was president, because there was the opposition. When Trump was president, people were not quite as interested in Fox News as when Obama was president, because they would be commenting on Obama. They would be holding Obama accountable. It will be interesting to see how our show goes. But I'm, you know, really, really happy with where we are and what we do and how we handle the campaign and how we're handling the victory of Donald Trump. America has spoken, and I accept that. But I know that there were a lot of people who voted for Donald Trump who didn't want to. Kamala Harris was not the answer. She did not run a campaign that was efficient enough to even come close to winning. And there is also innate racism and sexism in America. I don't think that's the only reason she lost, but I think those are factors. The idea of a woman of color being president of the United States is unsettling to too many Americans who will never admit it publicly. But when they get in the voting booth, they voted how they feel. So I think that is a concern for America. As much progress as we've made, we haven't made that much progress in some areas. But there are going to be things to be concerned with, and we will talk about that. The tariffs that Donald Trump is talking about, will they be good or bad for America? We'll talk about that. Donald Trump said he's going to end the war in Ukraine in one day. Could the Trump people be working right now with Vladimir Putin to where the war does indeed end one day after he takes office? I don't think that is out of the realm of possibility. I mean, it could happen. And if the war, if Trump can get Vladimir Putin to stop attacking Ukraine, that's a good thing. I mean, I would applaud Donald Trump if he can do that. So I will continue to be a radical moderate. I will continue to be a registered independent. I am biased in many ways, but I will continue to be as fair as I can and allow those who disagree with me, those who disagree with some of the things that I say, I will allow them to be on our show. And in that sense, this show will always be fair. But, you know, for those who said, well, you know, well, what are you going to talk about after Trump wins? We have plenty to talk about now that Trump is going to be president. And I mean plenty. In fact, some days we're not even going to want to talk about Trump because we're going to want to talk about other things. I'm not going to talk about Trump every day. It was something that we had to do because this is talk radio during the campaign. But I don't relish in talking about Donald Trump, good or bad, every day. And by the way, you know, for those who think I'm down and depressed, I'm not. As I said earlier, I was on the ninth row, nine rows up from the floor last night at the Pelicans game. My life is full. I've got a lot going on. I am living life. I have never been happier. So don't think for one minute that Donald Trump's victory affects me personally. If you want to join us, the Oakenhart Jewelers Talk and Text line is 504-260-1870. Let's go to Biloxi. Joe, you're on WWL. Good afternoon.
Hey, Scoot, keep up the outstanding work you're doing, man.
Oh, thanks, Joe. Thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah, I don't always agree with you, but that's what people do, right? But I called for one comment and two questions for you. My comment is I want to send my deepest sympathy to you and the WWL family in the passing of Eric Olson. He was one of my favorites.
Yeah, he was such a good person, such a, you know, an easy person to be around. You know, I was in a lot of different situations with Eric. We were not friends. I don't want to lie about that. I'm not going to pretend that we were friends, but we were certainly friendly to each other, had respect for each other. And, you know, it was a tremendous loss, more to TV than to radio. But we were, you know, we were all familiar with and we all knew Eric Paulson. And it's just a reminder that, well, you just don't know what's going to hit you in life, and you just have to enjoy living every day. And if you're in a dark place because of the outcome of the election, man, you don't want to be in a dark place for long, because you just have to live life.
Yeah. My question, the reason why I called about an hour ago, was I didn't know what you meant by people still living, you know, still in the dark. But you answered that question when you came back from break. And I think we're losing I don't know the word for it, but we're losing the aspect of what's happening here. I didn't know whether you meant because of the election or because people are still in the dark. Now, and the reason why I say that is because when Biden was elected, taxes, you know, our interest rates went up, food prices went up, gas prices went up. And we're losing the fact that, and you say you're comfortable in your life, I'm comfortable in my life, but I think the people voted, and those people that voted, they're not comfortable in their life. They've got to work three or four jobs, you know, in order to support their family. And flood rates has gone up tremendously, so that hurts their budget. Senior citizens are on a Social Security limit. And with the interest rates going up and with the food prices going up, that's their sole income. So I think we're, you know, many, many Americans are good, you know, in their daily life. But those people that are single, that have a bunch of kids, and those that are on Social Security, the Biden administration and the Kamala Harris administration didn't do anything the 4 years that they were in office, in my opinion. So I'd like to hear you comment on that, and I have one other question.
Okay. Well, Joe, look, I don't know anybody working three and four jobs. I mean, I've heard of people working two and three jobs. And when I said people, I never said people are in the dark. I just want to make sure that the phrasing is right. I said a lot of people are in a dark place. They're depressed. They're really down. I mean, they're not in the dark like they don't know what's going on. They're in a dark place. You know, I think people did vote the economy. And I have said that while, you know, gas prices and grocery prices do affect me, they don't stop me from the basic things that I want and need. I can't buy everything I want, but those things didn't affect me the way they affect a lot of people. But I'm always empathetic of those people who are not in my situation, that they're in a different situation. And I know that a lot of people felt really hurt. You know, I don't know that a president has that much to do with inflation, because inflation has gone up many years during a reelection year of presidents. And if they controlled it, why wouldn't every president have inflation down during a reelection year? But if you go back through history, inflation was quite often up during a reelection year, indicating that they really don't control the economy. But people still voted for Trump because he was a hope, and he successfully presented himself as the hope that he would control inflation. And look, if he can control inflation, if he can do something about it, and he does something about it, man, I'm all for that. I'll applaud him for it. And the Harris administration, I mean, the Harris campaign, was too linked to the Biden administration, and they were just basically inept in terms of campaigning and coming up with a message. And she was just too weak on the campaign trail. I say that, but I don't want to take anything away from Donald Trump and the Republicans being successful with winning their campaign.
My second question is, follow it up with a comment that My question is, what do we need to do instead of worrying about Trump as president? What we got to do is we have to make sure that Congress and the House work together. Because what happened when Trump got elected in 2016? The Democrats went all off on him. They didn't do anything in the House as far as policies or laws. They didn't. All they were worried about in the House and the Senate was impeaching Trump and trying to convict him because he got elected. We don't need that.
Well, look, Joe, that's not all they worried about. There was a lot of other stuff going on, too. And that's what the Republicans did when Obama was in office to some degree. I mean, it might have been a little more exaggerated with Trump, but Trump gave them ammunition. His behavior gave them something to cling to. So, you know, let's see what happens. What do we need to do? We need to accept the outcome of the election, and we need to move on. And we need to let Donald Trump be who Donald Trump is. And if it's good, we'll say it's good. If it's bad, we'll say it's bad, and we'll comment on that. And let's see where this country goes from here. Joe, I appreciate the call, and I'm glad you're listening to our show, even though we don't always agree. If you're on hold, hang on. We're going to get right back with more of your calls. We'll also get to a few of your text messages. The Oakenheart Jewelers Talk and Text line is 504-260-1870. So the blog that I wrote is posted on our website, WWL.com. You can check it out there. And also, it's on the Scoot on the Air Facebook page. You can comment on it there, and I will share some of your comments coming up. On the SOTA Rock Culture Calendar, on this day in 1979, the movie The Rose, starring Bette Midler, opened up at movie theaters nationwide. It was a movie about the life of Janis Joplin. But the filmmakers could not get the rights to use Janis Joplin's name or her image. So Bette Midler, who got an Oscar nomination for her Best Actress role, as Best Actress for her role in the movie. I remember this movie. It was an excellent movie about music and about the life of Janis Joplin. It really paralleled who Janis Joplin was, rising up to fame and some of the things that she dealt with. So if you've never checked it out and you're interested in Janis Joplin, check out the movie The Rose. It opened up nationwide on this day in 79. I'm Scoot, and we'll be back on WWL. On the Scoot on the Air Rock Culture Calendar, Rolling Stone magazine reported that Ted Nugent had won the National Squirrel Shooting Archery Contest by picking off a squirrel at 150 yards. In other words, it was 150 yards away, and he hit it. He killed it. Ted Nugent is quite a sportsman when it comes to killing animals. Ted Nugent also killed 27 more squirrels when the handgun event came up 3 days later. Something to tell your kids about. I'm Scoot on the Air. Glad you're with us. I want to just once again say that we just had a great time yesterday afternoon. I want to thank Bonvenue Bank for having us out for the grand opening ribbon-cutting ceremony for the new location at 2000 Belchase Highway in Gretna. Bonvenue Bank used to be Citizens National Bank. There was a location in Metairie, the North Shore, and in Baton Rouge. They're also in the northern part of the state. But some of you know them from this area as well. It's now Bonvenue Bank, and I'll tell you, they've got a really great innovative idea for banking and service, and they're just really great people. And, you know, if you feel like you've been with the same old stodgy bank that's been in business for a really, really long time, sometimes banks get so set in their ways they just don't see any innovation. Bonvenue Bank is an innovative new bank that I want to suggest that, you know, you might want to think about moving your checking account and savings account to Bonvenue Bank. And if you're a small business and you need a business loan or you need a new home for your business account, maybe you're not getting the attention you think you deserve, then go to Bonvenue Bank. They would love to have you. All right, let's get back to some of your calls. Let's go to Mid-City. Mike, you're on WWL. Good afternoon.
Hey, how you doing, Scoot?
Good, Mike.
I'm elated, which I know you know that.
I don't. You know, if you've called the show before as a Trump supporter, I can't possibly remember everybody's name and voice. So, you know, I don't always know. So, if you're a Trump supporter, then obviously, yeah, you're related today.
Mm-hmm. But it's Mike in Mid-City. Yeah, the one y'all call Brainwash Mike. That Mike.
He started calling himself
Brainwash Mike.
Yeah, I think you called yourself Brainwash Mike.
Well, y'all said I was brainwashed, so I'll call him.
Okay, well, whatever. But, so you're happy, okay. I guess I would ask you, and this is something we've been talking about, what would you tell the people who are not happy, who feel like they're in a dark place right now? What would you tell them?
Well, you know, you know, we had a lot on the line. Us Trump supporters, we had a lot on the line. You know, we feel that he was the Justice Department really. We think they crossed the line with their little lawful acts. You know, putting mm-hmm. a conviction tag on them. You know, we think it was totally political. We know that the Biden administration was behind it. You know, and this was a vindication. You know, that we didn't believe it. This was a verdict. The election was a verdict. Okay, all of those supporters for Kamala, you know, they lost the verdict. Okay, everybody who supported Trump, who knew what they was doing was unfair, and how they used the Justice Department to do it, you know. We won. Okay, so, you know, they're going to believe what they want to believe. Okay,
yeah,
and we're going to believe what we want to believe.
Yeah, exactly.
But one thing's for certain, you know what I'm happy about, Scoot?
What?
I'm happy that $8 a gallon orange juice, them prices going to come down. Okay,
man, I hope you're right. God, I hope you're right.
Because
I mean, they're already coming down. I mean, things are already going down. Let's see if they continue, and let's see if Trump can increase the reduction in prices.
He will. He will because he's going to flood the Earl markets, and it's got to come down. I mean, if you flood the markets, things not going to go up, Scoot. It's common sense. And that economist, whoever he was, who come up there, who said that he don't see prices coming down, he need to go find him another job because he don't have common sense. Okay, yeah. When you flood the market and there's more than you need, prices can't help but to go down. That is just common sense. And for anybody who wants to.
I don't know how the executive branch, the head of the executive branch, floods the market with products. Maybe you know something I don't know.
With Earl. We're going to flood it with Earl.
Earl.
With
Earl?
Earl.
Who's Earl?
That's right. That's right.
Oh,
the
oil.
Earl that we have in our country.
The Earl, not the Earl.
Earl.
The oil.
That we, the Earl. Right. The Earl, okay. The Earl that we have in our country, Scoot, is
okay.
Going to bail us out. He know it. He's a businessman.
Right. Okay,
he is,
yeah.
He's a businessman,
yeah.
Scoot.
I know, he is.
I mean,
anyway,
right. He know
yeah,
it.
And he went bankrupt with a couple of casinos. Man, he's the best. He went broke with he got sued over a debunked bogus university that was just stealing people's money. Yeah, I mean, everything is really great about Trump. He was the greatest businessman ever. But, Mike, look, let me correct you on a couple of things. You don't know that the Biden administration was behind the Justice Department going after Donald Trump. You don't know that. You have been told that. You believe that. But you don't have the facts that you can send me that you know that. You can't, you know, draw the lines together, link the lines together and show me that. And also, the Justice Department did not put the conviction tag on him. That was a jury of his peers. And if the Biden administration was behind it, and if the Justice Department made it up, are you telling me the Justice Department tampered with the jury and made them come up with that conviction? Again, believe what you want to believe. Let's go to Irvin in Hammond. Irvin, you're on WWL.
Hey, Scoot. I want to say something first before I go to the meat of my call. I did not withhold my vote from Ms. Harris because she was a woman of color. I would vote for Condoleezza Rice, a former black Secretary of State, over Trump in a New York second. I would vote for Colin Powell, a black former Secretary of Defense, and the current black Secretary of Defense, whose name escapes me, over Trump in a second. Why? Because all three of those folks can communicate their position on things, who they are. Even the liberal networks right now who are hashing over why she lost are faulting her inability to communicate clearly to the American people who she was, what she was about, and the fact that she didn't distance herself from the Trump administration enough. Now I'm going to move on to another thing.
Okay. Could you change the song to White Rabbit?
Harris and Biden have both apologized and to the public and have both congratulated Mr. Trump. Mr. Trump, even though they've been in office for 3+ years, it's not too late for you to man up and congratulate them for their 4 years. One of the hardest things as a high school coach with teenager players after a hard loss was to go across the floor of the field, look them in the eyes, shake their hands, and tell them congratulations. It makes a man out of you or a woman.
But it also shows that you're a man.
No doubt. Yes.
It's a sign of integrity.
You know, I just want people to know that those of us that voted for Trump are not basking in glory, not all of us. It was, again, the stronger of the two weak candidates. Yeah. I want to say this to the young people. This is a typical grass is greener on the other side election. After 8 years of Clinton, people felt, you know, that they were going to go to the other side, even though the vice president for Clinton ran, he lost. This happens all the time. After 8 years of Bush, people thought Obama was grass on the greener side.
Yep.
After Obama, people thought Trump was grass on the greener side. Let me say this to young people and anybody right now.
We've got to get to a break here, so be brief.
okay, in 2 years, we have midterm elections. If he doesn't get it straight during his honeymoon period, they're going to pull the Senate and House from under his feet. Two more years from now, we'll have an election, and we'll not only pull him out, but we'll pull the Republicans out for a while. I'll give it to you.
You know, that's the way it happens. Irvin, I got to get you a break here. That generally does happen. You know, people voted for change, and that's quite often what happens in elections. More on that when we come back. You know, this was a significant day in the history of FM radio in terms of FM rock. You know, some of you don't even know this, but a long time ago, FM was used for, like, easy-listening, elevator-type music. On this day in 1967, radio station KSHE, 94.7 FM in St. Louis, flipped their format from easy-listening to rock. And this was the first song they played. It was the beginning of the sounds of a counterculture being reflected in the programming on FM radio. And in the very early years, FM was the counterculture medium for music that you didn't hear on the pop top 40 AM stations. So this was a significant day in the evolution of FM radio. I'm Scoot. We'll be right back on WWL. Hey, I lost Spotify. On the Scoot on the Air Rock Culture calendar, today we wish a very happy birthday to Johnny Rivers. Johnny Rivers, 82 years old today. He was born in New York City, but he grew up in Baton Rouge. And Louisiana music was a big influence on him. This was one of his big hits. I was behind him in line at the airline ticket counter in L.A., and he's a little guy. I mean, he was smaller than me. I mean, you see pictures of me with people. Usually everybody's taller than me. Johnny Rivers was shorter than I am. Not that there's anything wrong with that, but yeah, he was just in line, standing there in L.A., buying a ticket. I'm Scoot on the Air. Glad you're with us. Let's get back to some of your calls. Let's go to Danny in Broussard. Hey, Danny, welcome to the show.
How you doing, Scoot?
Good.
What religion are you, Scoot?
Catholic. I was born Episcopal, but then I became Catholic.
You think all the Catholic priests are pedophiles?
No.
Well,
I mean, obviously some.
I don't know. Yeah, right. There's a small percentage of that. You know, I'm Catholic.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the way you come across about it sounds like you come across half the country is racist. And I got a problem with that. I mean, I'm a white man, 71 years old. I voted for Barack Obama twice. I regret that I did after I've seen what went on. But the other thing is, you know, how the border worked out wide open. Trump had it under control.
Yeah, we've talked about that extensively. You know, I can't...
Yeah.
I can't determine and control how you perceive our show, but in no way do I believe that all of America is racist. And I talk about enough things to where most people know that that's not the case.
In other words, the people that was in power, they don't give 2 cents of care about the Constitution. They don't give 2 cents of care worth about.
What did they do? Tell me what they did to violate the Constitution. Give me something specific.
The democracy. The only time they're concerned about democracy is if they think they're going to lose.
But how did they defy the Constitution?
Well,
I mean, you can't just say that. I mean, you've got to have examples.
Okay. For the 2020 election. They used COVID to circumvent the Constitution to win the election. Okay?
Explain that to me. I don't get it.
And I know you don't get it because a caller a while back nailed you. You ought to just come out of the closet and say, you live.
Listen. Danny, we're not. I'm done with this conversation. You know, I mean, you don't really have a point to your call. And if it makes you feel good in the aftermath of the election to call up and try to rag on me, that's on you. It's not on me. But, I don't have to deal with this. You know, there are so many. If you want to believe I'm a liberal, you can believe that. But I'm not going to confess to something that I'm not. I'm not gay. I can't confess to being gay because I'm not gay. I'm not a liberal because I can't confess to being a liberal. I have certain aspects of my ideology that are liberal. I have certain aspects of my ideology that are conservative. A lot of Americans are like me. A lot of people relate to that. A lot of people are not all right or all left. They're thinking Americans, and they're just not all one way. And so I'm open enough to admit it. And this idea that everybody has to be specifically defined is one of the problems we have in America. I don't have to be specifically defined to you. I can be whoever I want to be. And you have a choice. You either listen to this show or you don't. And you're listening. And a hell of a lot of people are tuned in. And a lot of people, I think, are really commenting on the power that I have and the influence that I have. And all we do is just talk about the issues and talk about the truth. This election was about change. A lot of people were not happy, and they think that Donald Trump is going to make them happier. I don't think anybody should look to a president to make them happy or to solve their problems. We'll see how many problems Donald Trump solves. If he solves the problem of inflation and the border, man, that's great. I don't want a border problem. There's a crisis at the border. I don't want that. I want that problem solved. I don't like inflation. Inflation's coming down, but I want it down even lower. I mean, I want to pay practically nothing for groceries and practically nothing for gas. Is that going to happen? I don't know. We have to wait and see. I'm Scoot, and we will be back with more. This was the day in 2011 that Dr. Conrad Murray, Michael Jackson's doctor, was found guilty of involuntary manslaughter in the death of Michael Jackson. He was accused of giving Michael Jackson access to the sedative propofol, which Michael Jackson apparently administered to himself, and he gave himself too much, and he's still asleep. I'm Scoot, and we'll be back on WWL. All right, Sports Talk is coming up next. The guys are going to be at the Treasure Chest Casino in Kenner. That is right at the end of Williams Boulevard. I haven't been out there to see the new casino yet, but I can't wait to get out there because it looks really awesome. I'm Scoot on the air. Look, I had a great show today. I thank all of you, and I want to thank our program director and brand manager, Diane Newman, our assistant program director and brand manager and senior producer of Scoot on the Air, Ian Hoke, market manager Dan Barron, news anchor Chris Miller, and traffic with Joe Cardosi. I didn't get to any of your comments from the SOTA Facebook page, my latest blog. You know, Trump wins, there's celebration, and there's concerns. You can read that there and comment on it, and I'll comment on some of your comments a little bit later this afternoon. Also, we've got a blog coming up on Scoot on the Air Facebook and also the WWL Facebook page. All right, have a great afternoon. I'm Scoot. Love you, New Orleans.